You're listening to the Higher Ideas Podcast, where ideas grow. Connect on higherideas.net. Now here's your host, I.
Hello, fellow human, and welcome back to the Higher Ideas Podcast. Today's episode will be another one about ayahuasca. I'll be sharing a bit of an interesting ayahuasca story that has been sort of in the miscellaneous pile I haven't shared before. You know, when you're in a dieta, all sorts of interesting and strange experiences might come across. And this happened in the middle of a dieta, in my little shelter in the forest by myself mostly, where you have a hammock and your bed and a mosquito net, you know, really basic. This was a rest day. This means a day where I wasn't to drink ayahuasca. That night, this was going to be just a regular night of sleeping, and the next day was an ayahuasca drink. So usually I wouldn't expect anything particularly strange or, you know, visionary to happen on a rest day. Although sometimes people who get really, you know, soaked in the medicine, they might have visions every night. You know, as soon as they try to rest and close their eyes, they sort of slip into vision. Sometimes that happens. Doesn't happen to me so much. For me, it happens more in dreams on a regular night. I might expect to have very powerful, very strange, very clear, lucid dreams on any night of a dieta. Anyway, here's how this particular night went down. I've got a hammock that I bought before I came out here to do this big adventure because I knew I would be in the woods a lot. I had some money to burn back then. And threw a little money down on a camping hammock that has a mosquito net integrated into the hammock itself. Really has been a great choice, a great purchase for me, being in the woods all this time, so many times. It was a good choice. I've used it quite a lot in the daytime to sort of swing in a hammock without being concerned about mosquitoes. You know, you zip up your mosquito net, you're like in a little tent, a little swinging tent. But because I don't sleep on my back very well, I've never been able to fall asleep easily without being on my stomach, I never really had a chance to use it to sleep. Naturally, you can't really get on your stomach in a hammock. But this particular night, for some reason, I guess I was maybe very tired and expected to sleep easily, or I might have been sort of swinging in the hammock at the end of the day and was feeling like I could fall asleep. For whatever reason, I decided, hey, let's try and sleep in this hammock tonight, just for fun, right? Just to spice things up. So I did. I got my pillow behind my head and my blanket for the cold when the night gets a little cool and everything. Got all settled in, water bottle, everything, flashlight, and gave it a shot. And wouldn't you know it, I did easily and quickly fall asleep, laying on my back in my hammock. And must have been asleep for a couple hours. Well into the night, I suddenly woke up. And it wasn't because I heard a sound or anything. It was just sort of like a feeling, wake up. I opened my eyes, laying on my back in this hammock. And the mosquito net on this hammock, it's black nylon. And the weave, the holes in the weave, are big enough that, you know, you could generally see through the net. It's sort of like tinted dark a little bit, whatever you're seeing, but you can see. And the moon was bright that night, so, you know, I could look around the little clearing that I was in without much trouble. So I open my eyes and I look to my left, which pretty much is the only way to look. If I look to my right, it would just be my bed. So to check sort of the clearing area, I had to look to the left. I looked to my left with just my eyes, and in that little clearing area before my area connects into the trails, right, that sort of doorway to my area, right out in the open in the grass there, I see something big. I see a shape in the moonlight, clear as day, right, or clear as night, I guess you could say. There is a tall humanoid shape, like a person, sort of walking up to me slowly, sort of actually tiptoeing, sort of creeping closer to me. And I can see it right there. Now, the interesting thing about this, I mean, besides the fact that someone's in my clearing in the middle of the night, The interesting thing about this was that it was tall. It was like 8 feet tall, this thing. It was a giant. And from the shape of it, immediately I was able to identify this was no human. This was... It's so weird. The only word I could come up with to briefly describe it is some kind of like ogre-like creature. So it had arms and legs like a human. But the thing is, its lower body was unremarkable. It was just, you know, human kind of legs. But the upper body is where things got interesting. The chest was way wider in proportion to the legs, right? So this thing was very top-heavy, big, muscular, strong chest area and shoulder area. And from the line of it, the silhouette of its arms and its shoulders, it had bulging muscle, you know, big bulging shoulders, you know, forearm, bicep, the whole thing. It just had these really Popeye-like, almost cartoonishly big muscles. And it had horns. This is the weird thing, right? I mean, the whole situation is weird. But strangely enough, this thing also had horns that came out of its head in a sort of L shape, right? So first sideways away from the head, and then a sharp right angle turn upward, right? Sort of like a cow's horns, right? Something like that. And the horns weren't pointy. Again, strangely enough, the horns were like stumps, like an arm amputated at the wrist, right? So a forearm just stopping at the wrist with a sort of round edge there at the top. That's what the long part of the horns were like. They just were sort of fat and rounded at the tip. So they were just sort of like shoving horns, right? They weren't piercing horns. So weird. But this thing had these horns and this big upper body and tall, 8 feet tall, you know? And I see it there as I look to my left, waking up. I see it there, sort of head leaning forward, curious, right? It was curiosity in its body language. It was sort of tiptoeing near me as if it was trying to look in on me. And the final detail I'll share that I noticed about this thing is that it was probably naked, right? Didn't have any fur or anything. I could see the moonlight sort of shining on its skin, just like it would on human skin. But this skin was red. So this thing was fully solid red. So some kind of red ogre demon horned thing, right? It's so surprising to wake up to, you can imagine. So this happened really quick. I open my eyes, I look to the left, I see this thing creeping up on me. But the second I register what's going on, I sort of, you know, I'm waking up in this moment. What is this, right? The second I start to realize something's amiss and this is not right, and oh crap, it reacts as if it saw my eyes or something, realized that I moved, I don't know, but it stops and it sort of goes, ooh, right, backwards. And then it turns around and starts to head for the trail, right, for the exit of my little clearing. And it's doing it in this sort of tiptoeing way, not like running for its life, just sort of, oops, bump, 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 you know, just trying to sneak away. And once it got to the connection into the trails, what happened was, instead of disappearing into the trails, it took a hard right turn directly into a bush that was sitting right there at the entrance of my area. And I watched this happen, you know, I was dumbfounded watching this whole moment play out. It turned to the right, went straight into this bush, but not a leaf moved, nothing on that bush moved. It just sort of faded into that bush, this thing. So it was very phantom-like, you know, what just happened. And it would have ended there, but as soon as it disappeared into that bush, it immediately came backwards out of the bush again, stumbling backwards, and then it fell down on its rear, and right behind it, or in front of it, I guess, came two more of those things. They came bounding out of that bush right after it, and they were holding in the air clubs, these big, fat tree trunk clubs, like ripped off giant tree branches, right? And they started beating the hell out of this one that just fell on the ground, this red one. I know it's weird that I keep saying the strange thing about this was, because this whole thing is strange. But the strange thing about this these two was that one of them was solid white and one of them was solid red. They were exactly like the first one. And there they were. You know, I could see them swinging and I could see them beating this thing up. I couldn't see the one on the ground in the shadows there. You know, in the moonlight, I could just see the white one and the red one sort of flailing their arm down on this thing. And it, to my perspective, it looked like they were, you know, killing the thing. So at this point, you know, this all played out in maybe 10 seconds time, right? It takes a long time to describe, just takes a couple seconds to see it. But when it got to this part of them beating this thing up, I finally sort of snapped out of witnessing it. And I was concerned for what was going on, right? I wasn't scared, really, as much as just sort of shocked and surprised and confused. But when I saw the attack happening, you know, quickly what took over was concern and, hey, why violence? What's going on here, right? Stop beating that one up. And I wanted to say something, and that's when I realized, when I tried to say, hey, what's going on? Hey, wait, shoo, you know, get out of here. What the fuck? I realized I was paralyzed and I couldn't speak. And of course, this means I was likely in sleep paralysis. Now, for anyone who doesn't know what sleep paralysis is, when you go to sleep at night and you go into dream, there's a mechanism in your brain that disconnects your voluntary muscle control of your entire body, except for breathing and important things like that. You know, that's automatic. But, you know, your control over your arms and your legs and any choice to move your body is turned off while you're dreaming, specifically to prevent you from flailing around while you're running around in dreams, you know. It's a safety mechanism. And that state is called sleep paralysis, naturally. But an experience with sleep paralysis is something that happens to people here and there. Some people have it more commonly than others. For others, it might just be a couple times in their life where they experience this. It's possible to wake up out of sleep, and for some reason, the mechanism doesn't reconnect right. And for a moment, for a little while, you're awake with your eyes open in your room, in your bed, but you're paralyzed. And you can't move. And people say they feel like they can't breathe because your conscious control of your breathing is also disconnected. So you're breathing automatically. But when you try to breathe and you can't move your lungs, you know, they feel like they can't breathe. And this often puts them into panic, even though they are breathing. They just don't know that they're breathing automatically, right? So there's this panic that often sets in for people. And when they do panic, you know, paranoia sets in and fear sets in. And now the sort of devious thing about being in sleep paralysis when this flub up happens is that usually also the dream mechanism doesn't turn off right. So you're also able to hallucinate when you're in this state. And so when the fear gets people, they often start to feel like there's a force in the room, there's some entity, there's some danger, and that manifests as seeing like a dark man in the corner, or, you know, like a spider over them on the ceiling. Like some hallucination may happen that makes it even scarier to be in this position, right? But, you know, it's a very scientifically explainable state to be in. And I was in that state because as I tried to say something, I realized I couldn't, just like in a dream when you want to scream and you can't, right? But I am watching this attack happening and I'm trying to say, stop it, right? And I force it so hard that I end up, you know, breaking out of the paralysis. And it came out real slow and muddled because I was sort of fighting the paralysis. But I remember when I was trying to say, you know, what are you doing? Stop that. It came out like, what are you doing? Stop. You know, like, it kind of came out that way. And as soon as I was able to do that, I was watching them and they just went transparent and completely disappeared. Right? So interesting, right? When it comes to dieta, I've done many dietas, but I've never had an experience like that. Fully open-eyed, realistic hallucination without any ayahuasca in me. Yes, I was having daily medicines, which can play into your experience, as I said earlier, in a way that can be as deep as full open-eyed visions, right? But for me, that was a first. So fascinating, so random, right? Ogres, red, fully solid red, naked, buff, horned ogre, sneaking up on me, sees me wake up, turns around, tries to escape by fading into a bush, not even moving the leaves, and then falls out of the bush immediately. Out comes two more of it, one white, one red, beating the crap out of it, right? Until I finally break out of paralysis and say, you know, stop that, what are you doing? Leave them alone. And then they disappear, right? The story ends there. That definitely, you know, after it happened, I definitely had to ponder a while. What the hell was that? And of course, as an apprentice, someone who works with visions, in the middle of a dieta, I had to try and understand any meaning there, right? And I still, to this day, this is one of those things, one of these experiences that to this day, I'm still not sure exactly what to think about it. It was the first time I'd ever seen that kind of creature in any ayahuasca visions or anything like that. It was definitely a new character that appeared, right? And I don't know quite how to classify it. Was it a good force, you know, are these good things, bad things? You know, there was violence there, so are these bad energies? This thing was walking up on me while I was sleeping. What was its intention? So many questions, right? And even though, you know, I explained this already as probably an experience of, you know, boring old sleep paralysis, as someone who's been studying, you know, this practice of shamanism and these medicines, I know that dreams aren't nothing, you know? What you see in dreams means something in a dieta, especially something remarkable and strange like that. And to have this experience in sleep paralysis, have this dream while I'm half awake, you know, that doesn't make it any less worthy of analysis or meaning, right? So here are my tentative conclusions so far on this weird little experience. First of all, I do believe those were representations of some sort of spirit involved in the medicine, involved in life, and this shamanism experience that is a dieta and my apprenticeship, right? There wouldn't be the first sort of interesting beings I've encountered so far, which seem to each have their purpose and each have a reason for approaching you and another kind of exercise or goal in mind in their interaction with you, right? So I do consider that I was perceiving there spirits that were actually there. Maybe not physically, concretely there, but to my senses, they appeared. I sensed them, right? Now, the next question that comes to mind for me is, why was that one coming up on me like that? And this isn't the first time that an ayahuasca dieta, forces of the medicine, try to creep on me while I'm sleeping, right? And that's something that I'm still trying to get used to be frank, you know? Obviously, when you go to sleep, and when there are figures that approach you while you're sleeping, you know, there's a sort of violation of trust and respect there that's automatic to the human mind, right? And I'm slowly building that trust. I know that Maestro has complete trust in this. He told me before that he gets approached by things while he sleeps, even without medicine in him. And sometimes he wakes up to find a being beside him, to his senses at least, right? And they have business. They have something to talk to him about or something. And to him, it's just as normal as waking up to find me beside his bed wanting to talk to him, right? And that's the path I'm on, so little exercise of that there, little piece of that. Some spirit, some red ogre horned thing was coming up to me for some reason. Now, I would assume that it wasn't for a bad reason. Yes, when I woke up and it was caught red-handed, to make a pun there, it was red, it ran off, which might suggest guilt. Maybe it was going to do something bad, right? And it's running away. Ooh, caught, right? But the way it ran away was sort of careful, you know? It was like tiptoeing in this sort of almost a dopey way, the way it was running away, like goofy, right? So it didn't read as negative to me, this thing, any of its behavior. So I could only imagine exactly what would have happened if it would have reached me. Maybe it would have entered my mind and met me in a dream or something, right? Maybe it was trying to do something there that I interrupted by sensing it. But definitely what happened there is I sensed it somehow. I woke up, I saw it, I caught it right in the middle of the act, and it ran off. So that part, that's how I digest it so far. Now on to the next detail, the way that it faded into the bushes instead of, you know, cutting into them, moving any leaves. This would suggest to me that this was some kind of spirit of the property, of the woods, because it just sort of merged back into the forest, right? And for all I know, it might have been a spirit of that exact bush right there. This is not something unusual in plant shamanism, that a spirit may come out of a particular bush, and that's like its house, right? And when it's done, it just goes back into that same tree, comes out of that tree, goes back into that tree every single time, right? So it might have been that kind of case. Or it could have just been generally vanishing back into the woods. I just found it very interesting that it chose exactly there to go back in. So that suggests to me maybe it is a spirit of that plant that was right there. But in any case, the fact that it vanished smoothly into the forest, and the fact also that it had horns, right? This all suggests to me, these are all symbols, archetypes that tell me this is something from the wild, right? This is a wild spirit. This is a spirit of nature. This is like an animal almost, right? And on the detail of those horns, you know, another reason I thought this thing was not a negative or dangerous sort of creature was the rounded nature of those horns. You know, they didn't look aggressive. They were like dull tackling horns, which sure, I'm sure could be used defensively, right? But just as an artist, right, the round shape is less threatening than the sharp shape. So I think this was a good thing, this thing. Now, I'm talking about all these details, by the way. I'm digesting all of this for you guys, just so you could have an idea of how someone like me, an apprentice, how to go about reading into every detail of a thing and analyzing, you know, a vision to sort of figure it out, right? So anyway, the big mystery here comes next. After it disappears into the bushes, comes stumbling backwards out of there like it just got shoved by its friends, and out come, I guess its friends or its enemies, I don't know, right? Out come more of its people, of its kind, two of them, wielding wild clubs and immediately going to town, beating it up together. Now that's where I get kind of lost, right? What does that mean? Obviously, if there's violence going on, there's some kind of disagreement, right? But the question comes, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? Who's right? Who's wrong? Who's aggressor? Who's victim? Right? And that would have been an easier task to figure out if, for example, both of them that were attacking were white and they were both attacking a red one, right? Then I could assume, well, maybe red is bad and white is good, right? White is generally, you know, a positive archetype color when it comes to reading these visions, right? A white snake is usually, you know, a very positive, helpful figure, where a black snake might be dangerous, right? But that's always flexible. So even there, you can't be sure. It's just sort of a guess, right? A generalization. But here we have a red and a white attacking a red. So there was no team here. There was no obvious team. So I guess these creatures, there would be some white, some red, maybe some of other colors. So these were just more of its people attacking it. And for a really long time, I didn't know why. Why did that happen? Why would that happen? But sometime later, as I was thinking back on it again, you know, these mysterious, I don't know what to think about that, moments that happen in a dieta in ayahuasca, you return to them later and reprocess them. You keep sort of trying to crack that nut. What did that mean? I don't know. Sometimes it's not up to you to figure out. Sometimes an experience like this one, for example, maybe in 1 year's time, I will enter some kind of state with ayahuasca, some kind of new chapter, where I meet these exact same creatures, where they appear again. And I get to finally understand what they are, you know, what they're about, what they want to teach, and, you know, anything else I may learn about this particular kind of spirit. And when that happens one day, I might finally understand, oh, you know, 2 years ago when there I saw you guys for the first time and that one was coming up on me, now I understand what happened, right? But for now, it's still a mystery. But on one of these various occasions where I thought back on that event and was again trying to figure out, wow, what could it be? What was that attack about? I came up with a possibility that I'm sticking with for now that seems to make a lot more sense. I suppose that these creatures, these spirits, may have been there for a long time through many of my dietas. Or maybe they just appeared for the first time, you know, maybe they just noticed me that night. Who knows, right? But maybe they're not supposed to show themselves. Maybe not to anybody, or at least maybe not to me. Maybe it wasn't time yet. Or maybe I'm never supposed to know that they're around. Maybe they're protecting me, right? Or maybe they're just doing whatever other kind of business that spirits may or may not be doing around you during a process like that. But what I suppose might have happened was, as I was sleeping, these ogre-like creatures who were aware of me, one of them couldn't resist sneaking up and trying to take a closer look, and was caught off guard as I sensed it and woke up and looked at it and then realized, oh crap, I shouldn't have done that, and went running back to its cover where maybe its friends were waiting, right? Its kin. And maybe they had told it, don't go out there. You're not supposed to, right? You're not supposed to be seen or interact or get in touch with this person, right? And so as soon as this creature ran back into its hiding spot where its other kind were waiting, they turned on it and started disciplining it, right? See, we told you. See what happens? Now we have to beat you up, right? This is maybe just the way of their people, right? I mean, to me, it looked like they were killing the thing. But for all I know, that was just a gentle slap, right? Or just teaching you a hard lesson and you'll be fine, right? But this is the law of our people, right? Now we have to beat you. So maybe that's what happened. That's as far as I've gotten with it. But it's the only sort of story that explains the whole story of what happens there, of what I saw, right? I can't think of anything else. I mean, were those things, those two bad ones, if they're the bad ones, right? Were they chasing it and then it ended up finding its way out into the clearing, and when it tried to go back in, they caught up to it and beat it up, right? No, that doesn't make sense because it was carefully coming out at me, carefully went back in there, you know? So it doesn't seem like it was running away from anything. Where those two things, see, my immediate thought was that those two things that attacked it, they were protecting me and watching out for me, right? And maybe that one that was coming near me wanted to do harm. But again, I didn't get that sense at all from the way it was behaving, the way it reacted. It didn't have a club in its hands, you know, it was just unarmed and just naked coming up to me. So in all of the angles I've tried to fill the gaps on this, that's the story that sticks for now. That's the one that fits the best, is this thing was curious. It was trying to get close for whatever reason, got caught, tried to disappear again, only for more of its kind to turn on it and give it some discipline, right? Give it a punishment for having done what it did and gotten caught by me, right? But there it is, you know, really mysterious moment. I've got a whole pile of them that I haven't shared on the podcast because, as you may be getting out of this particular episode here, I mean, why? What is the lesson here? What is the point, right? Not really anything except to share it, right? This is an experience I had. And out of all of the ones that I had during a dieta, that one does stand out as very unique and you know, unique to itself, very strange and other than all the other experiences I've had. Really caught me off guard. Of course, also having the sleep paralysis. I never had it before that moment. The closest I've ever been to sleep paralysis is when I was a teenager. I had a very powerfully real dream of somebody stabbing me in the calf with a knife, in the back of the calf, real nice and deep, right into the bone. They stabbed me with a knife, and it was so real and so shocking that I immediately woke up, as you do from a nightmare like that. But for like 1 minute or 2 minutes after I woke up, I literally could not move that leg. I was holding it, you know, with my hands, and I was moving it with my hands, getting it to fold and everything. But I was trying to move it with my muscles, and they refused to work because they were so convinced. My mind was so convinced there was an injury that my muscles were refusing to move, right? Until, you know, the shock faded for a minute, and then I was finally able to slowly start moving my leg, and everything was okay, right? But that's the closest I'd ever been before that of waking up paralyzed in any way. So definitely on a sleep paralysis experience sort of front, that was interesting. It was a first. Still hasn't happened to me again. But of course, every other element of it was very remarkable and unique from any experience I've had before. And I just thought might be interesting to listen to, just for interest's sake. And as I said earlier, just to see some examples of how my mind goes to work on trying to understand a mysterious experience like that, analyzing all the elements of it, revisiting again later, trying to fill up those question marks that are still remaining. And as it sits today, again, as I said, I'm still waiting for a future experience to reconnect to that and to fully, clearly explain it. So far, it just sits in that unknown folder, right? In that mysterious, I could only guess at what the heck that was folder, which, believe me, is full of all kinds of other stories, which I surely will dose out here and there as appropriate on the podcast. But for now, this was the story for today. I hope it was some kind of interesting little story to listen to. Very briefly here, I will, of course, thank my Patreon patrons. Thank you guys so much for continuing to support. Of course, you can always find this podcast over at higherideas.net, along with all the other episodes. And if you are ever interested in coming and working with ayahuasca medicine over here at Via Verde Ayahuasca, you can find that link also at the very top of higherideas.net. So that's it for this one, fellow human. Until next time, keep thinking.